You're listening to The Cutting Edge, presented by Hilleberg the Tent Maker.
Hi, I'm Petra Hilleberg, president and CEO of Hilleberg the Tent Maker. My dad, Bo Hilleberg, a lifelong outdoorsman, founded Hilleberg 50 years ago, and we've been family-owned, family-operated, and European-made ever since. We proudly specialize in building strong, lightweight tents and in never compromising on quality of materials or construction. Our tents have been specifically chosen by polar expeditions, mountaineers, backpackers, and avid outdoor adventurers just like you all over the world. We build tents for everyone's adventure.
We get additional support from Bivouac Coffee, a craft roastery making naturally processed and sustainably roasted coffees in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And from Blue Ice, makers of lightweight, robust gear for serious climbers and skiers, developed and tested in Chamonix and in Utah's Wasatch Range. This is Dougald MacDonald, editor of the American Alpine Journal and host of this show. This episode is all about Tirachmir in Pakistan's High Hindu Kush. At over 7,700 meters, it's roughly the 33rd highest peak in the world, depending on who's counting. In a moment, we'll learn more about the history of Tirachmir, which once was quite popular among climbers, but is rarely attempted today. This summer, however, two Japanese climbers completed an ascent of the secretive north face of Tirachmir. Kazuya Hiraide and Kenro Nakajima are names that may be familiar to AAJ readers. For the last decade, they've formed one of the most successful partnerships for lightweight, alpine-style new routes on high 7,000-meter peaks. Kazuya had dreamed of climbing Tirachmir for more than 20 years, ever since he saw it during an early trip to Pakistan. The two had hoped to attempt the North Face several years ago, but permit problems and COVID-19 forced them onto other objectives, each a major accomplishment in its own right, each teaching them a little more about the mountains of northwest Pakistan. In August 2017, the two made the first ascent of 7,600-meter Shispare's northeast face. The south face and southeast ridge of Rakaposhi, around 7,800 meters, in 2019. Then, only 6 months after surgery for frostbite injuries during a winter ascent in Pakistan in 2021, Kazuya returned with Kenro in the summer of 2022 to climb the northwest face of Karen Ko, another peak of around 7,000 meters. If you have a copy of this year's AAJ, there's an incredible photo on page 290 of Kenro leading one of the crux pitches through pounding spindrift. As you'll hear, their new route on Tirachmir involved a creative and committing approach, climbing over a high col and all the way down the other side just to reach the foot of their intended climb. The new route was also the latest step in a long path toward a truly audacious goal, an alpine-style ascent of the west face of K2. But first, we're going to chat with AAJ Senior Editor Lindsay Griffin, an expert on the climbing history of the Greater Ranges, to help us understand Tirachmir's history and significance. So, right. Let's talk about Tirachmir.
Okay.
Where is Tirachmir located, and why is it so rarely climbed?
Well, the first question is quite easy to answer. It's a big lumpy thing, you know, in sort of northwest Pakistan. So it's in what they call the high Hindu Kush. So right up on the Afghan border, just north of Chitral state. Why is it so rarely climbed? Well, actually, it's not so rarely climbed. It's just rarely climbed now. Because that area used to be really popular in the 1960s and 70s because it was easy to get to, because people used to drive there, or the Poles or the former Soviet countries used to come by train.
Drive through from Europe then.
Yeah, people used to drive through Europe all the time. When we went to Afghanistan, we went overland. And, you know, I guess in those days, well, thinking back in those days, in the 60s and 70s, there were no cheap flights. You know, flights were relatively, it was a big deal. You know, it was actually probably cheaper to put all this stuff into a van and a lot of you and drive across there. So, and the first port of call really is almost the Hindu Kush in Afghanistan. So that was one thing. I think secondly, in the 60s, Nepal was closed. The Baltoro was closed. So, you know, areas of big peaks were less, really.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, I have no idea of the statistics, but I would think it was climbed quite a lot up until maybe the late 80s. But it's pretty well explored, that area. You know, from the 60s and 70s, there was a load of teams there. They did a lot of stuff, you know, particularly Polish. And I think it died off, it got less popular perhaps after that. And then, you know, 9/11 kind of stopped right. Everything up there because it's, you know, it's right up on the Afghan border, really.
Yeah. When was it first climbed?
Okay, it was first climbed in 1950. By the south side, the south face, which okay. You can actually see from Chitral. So it's quite easy to approach. And there's actually two things about that ascent that, you know, I remember that I think are interesting. One is that, well, first of all, it was a Norwegian team that was mm-hmm. led by Arne Næss, who was the dad of the Arne Næss who married Diana Ross, you know, did a lot of climbing in the Himalayas and stuff. And they employed a British captain in the Chitral Scouts to act as a sort of transport officer. I suppose that was like being a bit of a liaison officer at that stage. They employed this guy from Chitral who wasn't a mountaineer, but he'd been posted there and he was used to sort of trekking around and he could speak all the language. And he ended up being just really good at altitude. So although that he'd done no climbing, he'd never tied onto a rope before, he went to the summit. Yeah. And his name was Tony Streffer. And of course he went on to join the Americans on K2 and then made the first ascent of Kanchenjunga. But I don't think he was ever really a technical climber. He was just was very tough and was extremely good at altitude. So that's one thing. The other thing that I find amazing is that, and I can't remember why this is now, but when they got to their top camp, one guy was either there ahead or maybe one guy stayed while the others had to go down to do something. Anyway, this single guy whose name I forget went to the top the next day on his own. So he actually technically made the first ascent. The others came the day later. But in order to prove that he'd reached the summit, in a big sort of snow dome summit, he carried this 14-kilo block of granite from I don't know, wherever, you know, the last bit of rock, I suppose, up to the summit, dumped it on the summit. And these guys the next day found this thing. I remember the photo, actually. It's a thing about, I don't know, 15 inches high. I think it's pretty impressive. He was obviously a pretty tough guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the Japanese climbers that we're going to be talking about in this later interview, said they descended the normal route, but the normal route was not the original route. Is that correct? So what is the normal route and how did that come about?
Okay, so the normal route is from the north rather than from the south. And I'm guessing in 1950, you know, they could see the south face. They said, you know, and I think the subsequent parties agreed, you know, it's south face, it's a big avalanche prone mm-hmm. sort of thing. It's a dangerous it's a dangerous face, potentially dangerous face, but the Norwegians, they had just perfect weather throughout. So they had, you know, like good conditions. But and I think to get round to the north side, which they probably didn't really know about, you know, they didn't really have much information. You know, A, it's a long way because, you know, they walk. So
yeah,
it wasn't till people started to go round to that north side, probably because they'd seen things from Afghanistan, I don't know, but people went round that north side in the 60s. They probably saw, you know, a feasible route. And this led to a team from, well, there were Czechs, basically, a team from Czechoslovakia going round there in 1967, but they had to walk from Chitral with mules. Wow. It's, I don't know how long that took, but it's a 7-hour jeep journey to the village. I know because I've done it. It's a 7-hour jeep journey to the village, and it's on the most, well, part of it is most, the most horrendous. It's just one of the scariest things I've ever done. It's for, you know, it's more dangerous than the climber, really. And in fact, the year we were there, there was an Italian team had gone in a month ahead, and they went off the road on the way in, and it killed a liaison officer and one of the guys, I think. So it's pretty nice and busy. But you'd have to walk with mules, which is what these Czechs did. And they went round. And actually, interestingly, if I remember, well, I do remember rightly, the glacier and the big ice fall that leads up to the bottom of the north face of Tirichmere, that's where they went, first of all. So they went through that ice fall. They seemed to go through that ice fall, no problem, get up onto the plateau below the north face, and then decided that, yeah, it all looked horrendous. Yeah, yeah. So they came back down, and they went round. That's the, I think that's the South Tirich Glacier, or the Little Tirich Glacier.
You're lower, I think they call
lower
it.
Lower Tirich Glacier. Okay, lower right. Tirich Glacier. And if you go further west, round, and you get to the Upper Tirich Glacier, which then is basically a very long, undulating, interminable glacier that goes up and eventually reaches this quite steep couloir that goes up onto the left ridge, which is the sort of southwest ridge or south-southwest ridge, I can't remember now. This couloir is, I can't remember, I would say probably it's about 300 metres, maybe less. Man, it's got a steep chimney in it with a couple of difficult pitches. And that takes you to a col on the ridge, which is where our two friends came out from the other side and camped on that col. And from there, the ridge is relatively straightforward up to the summit, which is what they followed.
And what year was that?
1967. Okay. And that's the route that lots of people have taken since.
Right. So they approached from the north, but as you said, they didn't actually, they got to the base of the north face on first look. But to your knowledge, has the north face itself ever been attempted?
I've no knowledge of that. I don't know if other people have been up through that glacier. You know, I think it's probably certain to say that in 1967, it was probably a lot easier than it is now.
Okay. So one of the challenges that the Japanese climbers talked about was the lack of information, because so few people had been on that lower Tirich Glacier. And they described, you know, very little imagery, no really good photos of the face. And, you know, they did have Google Earth, of course, and which has a pretty good image of the face, but nonetheless, it is unusual in modern times to approach a huge face like this with so little information, is it not?
Yeah, well, I don't think that from, you know, going up to the ice fall, because it bends, if I remember right, so I don't think you'd be able to see the face without actually getting up through, which is presumably, you know, what happened to the Czechs, that they thought this might be a logical way to go. perhaps to get up onto the ridge on the right, but then realized once they got through the ice wall that it wasn't practical. I would have thought, I mean, I haven't seen them myself, but from Tirich Mir itself, there's this long ridge runs south, which divides the lower from the upper Tirich Glacier, and it's got Tirich 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then Tirich North. And they've all been climbed on occasions. And I would, I suspect that people have got photos from there, but, you know, they would be, you'd be looking across.
Yeah.
You know, you may not, maybe it's so parallel to the main face that you can't see it well. I don't know.
And you, when you read about the Japanese climb this summer, I mean, what was your overall impression?
Oh, I thought it was, I'm slightly biased because I think it's a, you know, it's a great area that's lacking in traffic at the moment. No, I thought it was a really impressive ascent. I don't know. It's sort of the sort of climb that I think it's what those two guys do.
When you say it's what they do, what do you mean by that?
It seems similar to the sort of big push on Rakaposhi or on Shispare. It's that sort of face that they're good at doing. Mm-hmm. They seem to be good and going over the mountain, which mm-hmm. is also, of course, quite interesting. Yeah. Much more committing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good. Thank you. Okay. I appreciate all the background. It's very helpful.
Okay.
After a break, we'll dive into our interview with Kazuya Hiraide and Kenro Nakajima. Bivouac Coffee is a craft roastery based in Colorado's Front Range foothills. They only roast natural processed coffees, which have a much lower environmental impact. And this results in a low acidity, super smooth, and flavorful cup of coffee. Bivouac ships everywhere in the U.S., and they are offering podcast listeners 20% off their first order. Enter the code CUTTINGEDGE, all one word, at checkout on their website. The address is bivouac.coffee.
Hi, this is Bill Belcourt at Blue Ice. In climbing, weight is the enemy of success. Here at Blue Ice, we make some of the lightest climbing equipment in the world to give you a fighting chance at succeeding in your objectives. The rest is up to you. Good luck out there and enjoy the podcast.
Now we're ready for the main event, our interview with Kazuya Hiraide, age 44, and Kenro Nakajima, age 38. The interview was conducted by Pete Takeda, who, in addition to editing the American Alpine Club's accidents book, also works on the AAJ and has significant climbing experience in Pakistan. We also worked with a translator, Hiro Sasso. And at the end, you'll hear from Kaoru Wada, who facilitated this interview. You'll hear first from Kenro and then Kazuya. Enjoy.
Kazuya and Kenro, welcome to the Cutting Edge. So the two of you have climbed many big peaks together in the Karakoram, and in 2023, your goal was the unclimbed north face of Tirich Mir. So this is a 7,700-meter peak that's very close to the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan. Can you tell us, how difficult was it to get a permit for such a remote peak in what was, in recent years, such a dangerous region?
Since the 2001 9/11 incident, the permit issue business has been down at some time. But then we found out that the 2016 French party got a permit and went to the mountain. So we knew that. So we, Spale, 2019, it seems we got an impression that the permit will come. So we went to Pakistan and the wait issued, but it didn't came. So we turned, since we were in the Pakistan, we went to Rakaposhi and climbed that mountain. But then eventually, 2020, the permit has come. But at that time, already in the corona, COVID-19 epidemic had started. And we have some family issues as well. So then actually we used that permit and went to the mountain 2023.
まあ、その後、実は私はその未登峰に登りに行くんですけど、
2021, while we are waiting, in winter, I went to Samisar, but then I had a frostbite, a serious frostbite.
しかしたら2022年の夏にティリチミーニルに登る。
2022 summer, we had opportunity, or we were able to go to Chichimir, but since I had a frostbite in the winter before,I was worried about my recovery as well, and also the mountain Karun Ko has been left behind, which was I planned to climb after Samsara. So I thought that I have to do the Karun Ko before we go to Tirichimir. So although we were able to go to Tirichimir 2022 summer,But we went to Karun Ko.
昨年カールンコーという山に、登頂を検討とすること
ができました。So we are able to climb the Karun Ko 2022. So we have accomplished the programs. So now we have the next step on Tirichimir 2023.
So can you tell us about the climb of Tirichimir? I know.From reading the account that it was very difficult to even get to the base of the climb. It sounds like you had to do a complete climb to just get to the start of the north face. But can you tell us about the approach and what the climbing was like on the route?
まず、今回の、ティリチミールの北壁に。
So the...So looking at the Tirichimir North Face, even there is no photos, and it's very difficult to see, and no one have ever seen it. So we have been worked out how we get to the bottom of the North Face. We are very much worried about it. But second day after we reached the base camp, we walked up to the bottom of the lower part of the Lower Tirichi Glacier, and that was the should be the most efficient and the nearest direct route to the foot of North Face. But we found that there was a huge ice fall, and the serac was there, very unstable seracs, and it seems to be impossible to get through up to the bottom of North Face.
まあその後。私たちはそこが通れないということなので、まあ、
to the plan B and plan B is the go to the 6,200 meter call and go down to the Tirichi Glacier. So it's almost like going up the dungeon high dungeon wall and get into the inside of the dungeon.
まあ、最終的に私たちは、そのコールから、
It's a 6,200 meter call, and we were able to reach the foot of the North Face. But it's actually almost one real mountain climbing and down. So even before the final real ascent, we already had a very challenging exploring the unknown area. We were very excited of that.
まあそれは本当にこう、うん、なんかこうまるで
This trip was seems like a very old 19th century great explorers experiencing go into the area where there are no maps there.And nothing has been known. So walk into that kind of area. So almost we are sort of experiencing the old great explorer's time, like doing the time slip back to 19th centuries. We were very excited on that.
だから僕たちはその6200メーターのコルから初めて自分
reached the 6200 meter call and saw the full view of the north face of Tirichimir, which we really felt, how to say, unexplainable, excited feeling that the North Face is actually there, which have no one in the world ever seen before.
It sounds like it's such a wild experience. And how was the actual climbing on the North Face?
2日目にその
It came to on the foot of North Face, 5,500 meters. We started the ascent, and visibility wasn't so good, but we were able to go up straight the ice snow wall, very straight. But then reached to the rock face, and I looked at the right and left, and we found the route to the right. So we traversed that part carefully and found out a nice gully, and then went up high, and then again the ice snow walls came up. So we climbed up there. Sometimes we climb together simultaneously. Sometimes we climb one by one. But then eventually we reached to 6,150 meter place, which is it's become a little bit, a gradual slope. And it was into where we planned to reach the height. So we carved the ice and made a tent site using the ice hammock for stretching the base of the tent.
出発しました。まあ昨日と、初日と同じように氷雪壁のルートですけど、
Day two on the face. The weather was very good, so we climbed again the ice snow face, and there were two places with a the rock mixed face. And the first ice rock mixed face was we wondered whether to go straight up or traverse right or left. We discussed about it, and we found out that the go up straight is it's not good because we can't make a nice protection. So we decided to move to the right, and we went to the sort of mixed site. And so then next mixed place was we able to go climb up straight. So eventually we reached 6,750 meter point, and it was again a little bit of gradual sloped spot. So we pitched a tent there using snow hammock, and there was some snowfalls in the afternoon, but it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, I'm looking at the topo, the picture. It looks like the first 2 days cover 2,000 meters almost, and it looks like really hard, like there's steep sections of mixed climbing. What was the climbing like, the technical difficulties like?
正直でも、本当、結構弱点を探した。
Well, actually, we were able to find a sort of weak point or easier point. And so technically, it wasn't too difficult.
How big is the face from the bottom of the North Face to the summit?
2,200 meter vertical difference from the bottom of North Face up to the peak.
And so you've described the climbing to the second camp on the face. What was it like for the remainder of the climb?
3日目は
this day is we have to go through the difficult part, which you had been worried about it. There's a huge serac was there and above us, and that we haven't seen really well from the lower part. But when we slowly traversed to the bottom of the serac, we found the good route between the rock reach and the serac. We went up there and with three pitches, and we have managed to reach the top of the serac. And now we reach to the summit plateau. So still we have rather early in the on the day, and we could have reached to the summit on the day, but there might not be enough time to go come down to from the top. So we discussed about it, which route we go, and well, we have started to think about how we go down to the bottom safely. So we go to the northwest side shoulder of 7,200 meter shoulder, where is the point of the normal route. So we pitched the tent and ready for next day summit push.
最終日、山頂へ向けて、出発する日ですね。
So, 天気は we left the tent and we almost very lightweighted on the day. And we started the ascent before 6 a.m. And we know that there are several routes go up to the peak from the past record. And but we choose the route which is direct to the from the north face direct to the peak. There was a nice gully in the very center of the north face, so we traversed to there and then we climbed up. And the climb itself was rather difficult, but there were several parts which is been on very much rocky part. So the through the direct line, there was two pure rock pitches, and but still we were able to have a very good protection and wasn't too difficult. And the very last, we had an icy face again. Then we walked a gradual snow slope, then reached to the summit at the time of 9:35. It was rather still early. So the view was, the weather was so good, and that there was a undisturbed 360-degree view from the above at a summit, and we stayed there 45 minutes.
まあ、まずその、ちょっとじゃあ、補足になりますけども、まず私たちは、
Normally, when you challenge the big face, you see the face from the bottom, and can a nice line to go up there. But for us, to look at the north face is from the 6,200 meter call, was only from the side of that. So it means that, that we could not see some part. So what was most difficult thing in this climb was that we didn't have a proper, a good route finding. And then we went up, caught on to the 2,200 meter high wall, and how could we find the way without lose our way, and how we could sort of continue go up to the top. So the whole mountain, whole face itself was very challenging.
多分皆さんは多分この登山の難しさをグレードで表すと。
Tend to put the grade on the difficulties of the climb of the faces. Rather than the technical difficulties, we found the psychological difficulties, which is means this is an unknown area for the human being, and nobody have ever seen, nobody ever touched that place. No map existed. And so if we need to evacuate, or it is not easy. We have to go up again the shoulder. So it is very difficult to escape in that way. So all they know, this kind of psychological stress was very, very high. So rather than sort of technical difficulties, we have to face with psychological stress or psychological difficulties.
Yeah, it sounds like the type of adventure that's very difficult to find in this day and age. So congratulations. When you face a climb that has this psychological burden of the unknown, how important is your partnership between you two?
Well, 私は、二人だからこそ登れるルートだと考えます。
The challenge is, could be done by myself alone. I would have gone by just by myself. But this North Face is the mountain which I could not go by myself. Kendo, we couldn't have done it. Kendo has a very good physical strength and very good climbing techniques. And we have each other different skills and different capabilities. So we help each other. We were together 10 years and we had been enhanced our partnership and we were grown up stronger and stronger in the last 10 years. And we know, I know his weakness and strong part as well as his weak point. So this is, he's a replaceable, unreplaceable partner.
まあ私、あ、ちょっと待ってですね。ちょっと細、はい。私たちは、
To add that, when we have succeeded on the expedition, we reflect the whole climbing carefully and what need to be, should be done, what has not been done apart from our, behind our success. Because we naturally would reflect a lot when the expedition has failed. But this is important for us that even the successful expedition, we need to reflect the our entire climb and find out the small mistakes, small things which has been didn't care of that. All these things we look back again, and that is a very important fact for develop our good partnership.
長い経験があるからなんですけど、まあ平井さんの方がもちろん経験は
Have been built up our partnership for throughout the years of decade of expeditions. Hiraide has more experienced and capable, and he would know that the even there's a difficult area, being in a difficult area to evacuate, he would find that we would find a way to get out. And even if we were in case of some emergencies, if we were alone each other, we both are capable to get out of these difficulties. So we are in trust of each other. So we have been deep in the trust each other, were able to accomplish our, not accomplish, overcome our anxieties.
Why is climbing special?
特に私は、やはりこう、この今やインターネットとか、
Everything is on internet or books or other things. There are so much inflation, information is, goes around. And we would think that everything we can find out and everything we know that. But still, there are some unknown things, unknown zone, unknown and untouched areas were there. And the mountain climbing and climbing is the way which we can get that touch to the, this unknown is climbing for me. This is the adventure for me.
はい。じゃあ、ケンドウ君。
はい。ケンドウ。
まあ、もちろん平井さんが言ってるような。
Okay. So, I agree with Hiraide-san, but also,climbing is, for me, is the subject which I can challenge with my 100% power and the skills, whether we could accomplish or not able to accomplish. This big challenge is really something. This is climbing, and this is the way I would like to live at the moment. In the future, it might be climbing could be the not my first priority, but at the moment, climbing is the thing which I devote myself.
Do you look at yourselves as artists or warriors?
Or even artists? Or even categorizing yourself as artists? Which one?
私たちはもちろん決して山にこう死にに行ってるわけではなくて。
One thing is sure, go up to the mountain for seeking for the death or challenge for the death. Come back alive. That's the way always we try to find a way to come back alive safely. Perhaps the knight or warrior would facing to the death and it might have a take the chance of on that, such kind of things. That's the difference. I'm not sure that that would be going to the category of artists or not. It could be difficult. But we are perhaps some kind of a person to make a sort of 表現者って言うんだろうな try to explain. Could be the artist, which is...make a beautiful line on the untouched face to reach the summit. If that the someone who make that beautiful line is the artist, maybe we artist.
Kendo 君どうですか？
どうですか？ Kendo 君ある？
まあ騎士ではないと思うんで、アーティスト。
うん、いやいやそれ、いや、I think we are not the warrior. That's sure.
まあ。僕たちは決してこう山に戦いとかね。
For me, is mountain is not the place where we challenge or fight, but the mountain is the place where I looked upon myself or looked into myself, and finding the something which I don't have or which something which I would like to have.While I'm in the mountain, I can find these things. Mountain is not a place targeted to fight.
So next year, the two of you, as I gather, are going to attempt K2. Was Kirik Mir a progression to that? And what did you learn on this climb that you will bring with you to K2 next year?
まあその2018年に初めて K2 の
Yes, 2018, we first time went to the recce on the west face of K2 with Kenro, and we saw the line, and that would be possible, but in our capability of that time, we only would have been able to do up to the halfway, so we need to train more and build up our skills goes to accomplish another half. For that purpose, we went to the Rakaposhi and the Tirichimil. So Rakaposhi and the Tirichimil is the part of the program that goes up to the next step of K2 West Face.
まああの十分この2つの山を登ることによってで多分力をつけて
So after we accomplished the Rakaposhi and the Tirichimil, we would have been build up the skills. But still, if we think of the K2 West Face, the possibility of the accomplish that mission is still not high yet. Our goal is not to reach to the summit of the K2, but whether we can find the unknown world, whether we see the unknown world with our own eyes. If we saw that, that is our goal. Of course, if we reach to the summit through this route, would be the happy and better, but our final goal is not there. But if we find the unknown world with our own eyes, that I should say the success of our mission.
まあ、あの、私は2017年に堅牢と登ったシスパーレという山は
Yeah, think of the Sispale 2017. I had been challenging this mountain for 15 years, four times, and finally I reached the summit. So the length of time, I felt really satisfaction was after I climbed that mountain after 15 years of it. So I know that the K2 wouldn't be so easy, and we may not accomplish in one expedition, and we may need to try several times. But little by little, if we reach to the summit and we extend our route to the summit, that would be our way to go.
まあ、私たちもそんなに気づいたら若くなくて、もう40、健老も来年は40で、私も45にな
る。We realize that we are not young anymore. I'm now going to be a 45 and the 健老 will be 40. So we should try one challenge to K2 as soon as possible.
まあ、もちろんその一度。
So we went to the Reiki for once.And mountain is 1,000 meter higher than we had been experienced. And I know that it is very hard, but I really would like to challenge as soon as possible.
あの、まあどうしてもね、今は K2 が。
1 meter line we named it as a secret line. We named it.Because which was an unknown face, rock face. So there are still many hidden faces, hidden route, many secret lines in the mountains. So for us, K2 is not the last goal of our life, but still it's the halfway go through our life. Because even after, if we accomplish the K2, there are still some more we'd like to accomplish.
Well, that is all we have time for. It's been a pleasure. It's been a real honor. So thank you very much.
ありがとうございました。Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone.
あの、一個聞いてもいいですか? I want to use my this special opportunity for me. And do you see, yeah, because you climbed Sispara in 2017 andDo you see any difference at that time in yourself? I mean, because Hiraide さんはよく成長って言葉を使われますけど、そのすごく。
そうですね。まあ成熟はもちろん。
Well, the one of the reasons why I climb with Kenro is in the very beginning, I aware that he is very capable in techniques and had a very good eye on finding the line.But still, a little bit unstable and maybe easy to get injured or get into the danger areas. There are a few people, you know, who often have injuries or accidents. But I myself, as I might climb mountains, I feel more and more fear and careful on the mountain. So through this,going with Kenro, I hope he's learning more in that way, and also I learned in that way too.
私はずっと長年パートナーを組んでいた谷内圭さんという方がいるんですけど。
Yeah, you may know that Kei Taniguchi, she was one of the very good partner, and she was the partner who.Only would be able to see once or twice in my life. She was really a partner of my life.
でも、
climbing life.
でも、健老は、僕にとって、まあ、正直、運命。
In early days, for me, 健老 may not have been a partner of my climbing life, but as we have been climbing together for time to time, I can see his development. He's very grown up in many ways, tremendously. And now that I feel that we could have done something together, the things which cannot be done by myself, we could have been by two. So there are, I can see the more things which we could have done if we were together. So now I start feeling that he is the partner of my climbing life. So as we being mature more and more, we can challenge more adventures. I think that's all for now. That's good.
Yeah, thank you for interrupting you, but I was very happy to hear from him.
That was a great question. Thank you. Thank you. Sato-san, thank you for translating.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope you understand my translation.
I think it's good. And Kazuya and Kenro, best of luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
A large team helped pull together this episode, and we're grateful to them all. Our guests Kazuya Hiraide, Kenro Nakajima and Lindsay Griffin, interviewer Pete Takeda, translator Hiro Sasso, and facilitator and friend of the AHA, Kaoru Iwata. You can see photos from Tir Ichimir and links to some of Kazuya and Kenro's past AHA articles at the Cutting Edge website. The kind of work that goes into unique episodes like this would not be possible without the support of our presenting sponsor, Hilleberg the Tentmaker. Whether they're in the Hindu Kush, Baffin Island, Alaska, or anywhere else in stormy world, Hilleberg's bomb-proof tents shelter all kinds of adventurers. Learn more at hilleberg.com. We get additional support from Bivouac Coffee and Blue Ice. Until next time, this is Dougal McDonald wishing you safe and happy climbs.